Issues, Etc., regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues, Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues, Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues, Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues, Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. 300.
We thought that the best way to ensure that his body was given an appropriate Islamic burial was to take those actions that would allow us to do that burial at sea. The burial of bin Laden's remains was done in strict conformance with Islamic precepts and practices. It was prepared in accordance with the Islamic requirements.
That's John Brennan, White House counterterrorism advisor, speaking to the press in the last couple of days about the death and burial of Osama bin Laden. How has this been covered? We're told again and again that he was buried in accordance with Islamic requirements, but what does that mean and why does it matter? Are there questions here that should have been answered even before was he given a proper Muslim burial? Joining us to talk about media coverage of the burial of Osama bin Laden and a little bit later, the royal wedding service, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
It's nice to be here.
What impressed you so far about the coverage, the media coverage, of Osama bin Laden's reported burial at sea?
Well, I don't know if I'm impressed, per se. I think that there was no way for the media to ignore the religion angles when you have this mass murderer killed by U.S. forces and dumped at sea within 24 hours solely to adhere to Muslim practice. It's impossible to avoid the religion angle to the story. And so I don't know if you get credit for not avoiding the religion angle, but so it's been nice to see at least that there has been discussion of how religion played a role in what the United States decided to do. Now, how they've done that is up for greater scrutiny.
What scrutiny would you apply to it, in particular the issue of a quote-unquote Muslim burial for Osama bin Laden?
Well, there are a couple of issues I think worth asking about. One is that it is true that Muslim practice is to bury as quickly as possible, but that is considered an honor that you bestow upon the deceased. So I think that they just skipped right over the question of, did Osama bin Laden deserve this honor? Did he deserve this treatment? If so, why? If not, why not? And they just immediately went to, did the U.S. do a good job of adhering to Islamic practice in the burial, without even questioning whether this was the right approach to take for someone like this. Now, there certainly is, as with all questions in Islam, a wide range of perspective on this, but they didn't even ask that question. So I think that's one problem. Another problem is that the spin was that he had to be buried at sea because, A, no country would take him, and B, because they didn't want there to be a shrine site. Now, both of these are somewhat problematic. One is, did they really ask countries whether they would take them? Because I think that would be an interesting thing to learn about, what various countries with predominantly Muslim populations would say about taking the body of Osama bin Laden. Then there's also the issue of whether there really was a risk that the grave of bin Laden would become a shrine. It is true that this is a common practice that countries engage in, apart from religious issues. They cremate and scatter the bodies of their worst enemies so that there's no memorial site that their enemies can visit. But he was a fanatical Wahhabi, and that is not something that marks Wahhabi practice. In fact, a lot of Wahhabi Muslims would persecute those Muslims who have shrines know, they bomb them, they blow them up and whatnot. So I'm not entirely sure that this spin should have just been accepted outright. You know, it'd be room, there's room again for discussion about whether there really was a risk that Osama bin Laden's followers would create a shrine. I think maybe they're using the wrong word to mark, you know, what their real concern was.
So to begin with, simply asking of some learned Muslim authority, we know, or you can tell us what proper Muslim burial would be afforded to honor a dead Muslim. But did Osama bin Laden deserve Islamic honor in his burial? Would have been a great first question.
Exactly. It would have been interesting to see what different people had to say about that. You know, we're more familiar with how maybe Christians or Jews might handle this issue of who deserves full religious rites in their funeral and whatnot, but they didn't even ask the question, so it's impossible for us to know what that range of opinion is on this issue.
Well, when we come back, more with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. We're talking about media coverage of the burial of Osama bin Laden. The question was not asked, could it be because the media generally tends to view religion, really all things, in terms of the political ramifications. And with the political ramifications of how you dispose of the body of the world's number one terrorist for the last 20 years are so enormous, they just don't even think to ask the question, did he merit a proper Muslim burial? We'll see what Molly has to say about that on the other side of the break. It's Tuesday afternoon, May the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Elections have consequences.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The Associated Press recently asserted that a wave of pro-life bills being considered in state legislatures across the country is the biggest political threat to abortion since 1973. A spokesperson for the Guttmacher Institute called it a total onslaught. Not only are there a large number of pro-life bills being considered, but more importantly, many of the bills threaten to make it much more difficult to get an abortion. Some states are considering mandatory sonograms and counseling before getting an abortion. Others may ban abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy, or even prohibit insurance policies from paying for abortions.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. Tuesday afternoon, we're talking with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of GetReligion.org. About media coverage of the burial of Osama bin Laden. In a few minutes, we'll turn to the subject of the royal wedding, which was overtly Christian in its orientation and little noted in all of the coverage that it received from the media, that royal wedding. Molly, before the break, we were talking about how the media has kind of missed one of the big questions, and that is, should Osama bin Laden have been given an Islamic burial rites? What do Muslims think about him as a Muslim? Could that also be because the media tends to view religion through the political lens, the political fallout of how he is buried being so potentially great that they simply leapfrog or maybe even don't think to ask the question about whether or not he merited a Muslim funeral?
I think that actually it might be a couple of other things. Like, I think that there was this instinct. This was such an exciting moment for Americans. And since most of the reporters covering this are American, they're just really happy about justice being served in this fashion. They're inclined to accept the story that the administration puts out, even though reporters should know more than anyone that sometimes early reports are not exactly accurate. So they just kind of accepted the administration's take on why this burial happened in this manner, and they didn't question those assumptions. And then when you don't know much about an issue, it also makes you less inclined to question. So if it sounds believable enough that the administration would have chosen to handle the body in this way. It sounds reasonable. It doesn't really raise suspicions. And you don't really know even what questions to ask because you're not that familiar with the religious angles, because, you know, a lot of the people who are covering this are not religion reporters by trade. It's not their, it's not something that they can just go to in their mental reserves to think of questions to ask. And so I think when you're doing journalism so quickly, and I do want to say, I think the stories that have come out after this Osama bin Laden killing have been fantastic. I mean, we've gotten a lot of really good journalism, really interesting stories in an amazing turnaround. And so I think, that these reporters do deserve credit. It's just that sometimes what doesn't get done well are those religion angles.
It often gets done in rewrites. It often gets done when, in the heat of the moment, a story is put out, and then later it gets modified. How would you fundamentally modify, if you were going to be editing one of these stories, how the media coverage of Osama bin Laden's burial at sea is covered?
Well, I do think that there's still time to ask some of these questions. I think that there's no reason, particularly for American Muslims, to ask people what they think about the respect accorded to Osama's body and the respect accorded to him in terms of giving him a Muslim burial. I think that that's still very newsworthy, and we can still ask these questions and find out some interesting answers about how Muslims view the life of the person and how that affects their burial rights. So I think that's something that could happen. But also, actually, with any of these questions, it's still just a few days out, and so I think that we can maybe do a better survey of the range of opinion. For instance, one of the things that came out right after it was announced that he was buried at sea was that there were quite a few Middle Eastern clerics who really didn't like the way it was done. They did not think he should have been buried at sea because that's really only reserved for people who die at sea. It's not something where you transport the body to sea and then dump it there. And so they were upset about this, and they were upset about various other issues with the burial. But they don't represent all Muslim opinion. And so it would be interesting to get, again, maybe some American Muslim views, get the range of Sufi, Shiite, Sunni, see how these things vary across Muslim traditions. And it would help us. It's just a great opportunity to inform people who are not familiar with these intra-Muslim debates about the range of opinion.
Turning to another recent huge story, the royal wedding, was Westminster Abbey, Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, London Bishop Richard Chartres, were they just window dressing for the royal wedding service?
Well, I thought this was a fascinating story, too, and one that we probably won't get as many follow-ups on now that bigger news has overtaken that story. But I think everyone was expecting a very nice, typical royal wedding and the typical, Anglican rites and whatnot. But it did become apparent even a few weeks out that there might be some differences with this one. It was news that the Catherine Middleton was confirmed a few weeks prior to her wedding. So she had been instruction, and they had a very good relationship with the priest who gave the homily, and he's known for being involved in their lives. So it wasn't just a situation where they went through the motions but didn't have an actual personal relationship with their priest and whatnot. And then the homily was just shockingly Christian. It was one of the more Christian homilies probably most people have heard at a wedding service, and the music that was chosen was very, you know, people who have gone to weddings, and since I'm the daughter of a pastor, I've been to several hundred weddings probably, you could tell the music was chosen with reason, and that, you know, the people, the bride and the groom were participating in the wedding service. It was just a very interesting event, very different than I think what a lot of people are familiar with at royal weddings. And I was going to be curious to see if we got some more coverage of that as opposed to the other interesting angles, like how beautiful the dress was or, you know, the other fashion that was there. But I'm not sure if we will, actually.
What I'm often interested about is when something like this happened. It certainly happened when Princess Charles and Diana were married so publicly. Culturally, a very public and prominent wedding like that tends to set the trend. And I wonder whether you think having something that is an overtly religious ceremony in the Anglican Rite, with all of the proper places filled in terms of the Anglican Christian Rite, whether or not that might have its influence culturally in people who are planning their wedding saying, you know, a church wedding makes a lot of sense if we're Christians, as opposed to going out to the local park or getting married on the beach.
I think it definitely, I mean, there's no way to avoid the fact that this will have a tremendous influence on the way people do their weddings. I think that it will range from something like whether they have an actual proper service. And it wasn't just, again, the location, although the location was unbelievable. A lot of people don't have access to that kind of location. I think it was the way the whole service was built around this idea of a Christian marriage. I mean, it's something that we don't hear about in the culture at all these days, even though marriage is in the news a lot. It's usually either bad news or political news. It's either about how people have messed up their marriages or about how their attempts to redefine the way the society views what marriage is legally. But there's very little discussion of what Christian marriage is, and it was very interesting to see that entire service is kind of built around that idea. But I also think it just influences in other ways, which I do think has religious ramifications, and namely just even the dress that she wore was the most modest wedding dress I've seen in a very long time. And, currently the fashion is apparently that you're supposed to have as much cleavage showing on your wedding day as possible. You definitely have to have bare shoulders, and, you know, I hate it. It's like one of my least favorite trends. But so I think this will certainly have an effect on how brides and grooms comport themselves on their wedding day and, you know, in fashion and otherwise, but also definitely in the services. I think that that might be a way that we will see some religion journalists following up on this story, too, when they look at how this service and the way that the people did the service will have an effect on wedding trends down the line.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C., she's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Love being here. Thank you.